can you come on and talk about Ireland's attack shape? It's really exciting.
I don't remember ever getting that call 15 years ago.
The Six Nations on OTB. Don't miss a moment of the action. Subscribe to the OTB Rugby podcast feed now.
Rugby on Off the Ball.
With Vodafone, main sponsor of the Irish rugby team. We all belong to the team of us.
And you're welcome back to Off the Ball Saturday here on News Talk. John Duggan with you through to seven, bringing you coverage of Ireland against France here in the Six Nations with Brent Pope alongside me in studio. And it looks like France have got a try or not, Brent.
Or not. I don't think he gets it down from front arm view. I think there's possibly a penalty there, but... The Irish are saying, no, that's a French knock-on, so he's going to have a look at that.
But we're set to lose the game.
Well, probably on the kick. But here's the point. I don't think he gets this down.
Melvin Jaminet, the fullback.
I think, who does it? Sheehan.
Yeah.
Oh, gone to the possibly he does TMO. He possibly does get it down there. You've got to give the benefit of the doubt.
So it was 27-24 when that happened with 3 minutes to go. Ooh. And France could be 32-24 up in a matter
still
of moments.
I still don't know. I think Dan Sheehan has a hand on that, but it's there.
Yeah, it's just gone to the judge. But will it be immaterial anyway, just with the clock running out?
Well, the clock's running out, but it still gives Ireland a chance
because yeah,
they take the penalty. You know, yes, they'll still have one more play or one more opportunity to score, convert a try. But the heartbreak would be if this is adjudged a try and they get the conversion. Of course, it takes Ireland out of the bonus point territory.
And especially with us only getting three tries rather than four. Yeah, it's been a bit of a game of nearlies, hasn't it, Brent? We didn't start very well. We were 19-7 down at half-time. We were 22-7 down. And then a brilliant fight back in the second half. From Josh van der Fleer, Jameson Gibson-Park. And there was a moment there a few moments ago, 6 points in it. Ireland got a penalty. They went to go for the posts rather than into touch. Maybe they should have gone to touch.
Well, there's always those key decisions.
Yeah, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't.
Yeah, exactly, damned if you do, damned if you don't.
But if we got the try there, we would have been ahead if it was converted.
Well, that's it. And I think that situation, because you looked at the risk and rewards at that situation, because at best they needed another penalty to draw the game. And if they had have taken gone to the corner and got over for a converted try, then they would have...
Got a bonus point even if they lose.
Yes, absolutely.
And at the moment, it's just slipping away. It's a lot of takeaways from this match, Brent, you'd have to think.
Oh, fantastic second half performance. And we'll go over the players that have impressed in a few minutes when we see the outcome of this match. But, you know.
So 77 minutes, 20 seconds on the watch. And the try has not been given.
So Dan didn't get it down. It was a great tackle. You know, that's kept their championship.
Yeah, and France have a penalty now. And they're going to kick this, obviously.
Well, they'll kick this, but it'll still leave them. Ireland a bonus point, losing bonus point.
Big time.
Which is huge in the context of this competition.
And there's another play. Not just done yet. So France 27, Ireland 24. Melvin Jaminet has been excellent with the boot today. And apart from one, Bosch one, but this is right in front of the posts. Myself, Brent could get this one over.
I don't know about that.
So they're just waiting to take it in the Six Nations match in which Ireland have performed gallantly in the second half in front of their fans, and it's gone over, and France now lead by 30 points to 24. So the penalty kick, 2 minutes on the watch. Fiona Hayes is on the line as well. Fiona, look, it's going to be a brave defeat, I think.
Definitely great second half by the lads. I thought they were outstanding at times. I heard you talking there. I agree. I think it's time to go when you're playing that French team. Don't mind the 3 points, hit it down the line and have a crack. I thought the lineup was going well in the second half. But look, I know, as you say, when you're in the heat of the moment, they would have been looking, but it would have been a draw because we probably would have only had
Ireland
time for another
ball.
Kick.
Ireland have got the ball out of this restart. Yeah, interesting, Brent.
Yeah, play for a penalty now. You know, like in the sense of like trying to develop something so they can kick the ball into the corner, because I think Fiona's right. We've both seen where France are vulnerable, and they're vulnerable in the line out. They're not so vulnerable in this kind of close quarter play. So, I mean, try to push for the penalty.
That was a wild pass.
Mile forward.
Oh, no.
Mile forward anyway. You know, but I mean, yeah. Play
just
that's
composure.
That's when you, absolutely, that's the word you use, composure. Just play it out, force the penalty into the corner.
It was Jack Carty
with for the win.
Stray pass there when we had the ball, and just those composure in the phases when you're late in the game and France have it now and they kick it clear. 79 minutes on the watch, 20 seconds.
Yes, they'll have to make something out of this.
Yeah.
Again, don't kick the ball away.
Yeah, why do they kick the ball away there?
Give it back to France, they'll just see out the...
Yeah, just some of the decision-making, Brent, in the last...
Poor.
You know, and to be fair, Fiona, throughout the game, there's been just questionable decision-making, some brilliance, Van der Flier and Gibson Park's try, probably the pick of it, and even Mac Hansen earlier on in the game. There's been so many incidents where going through them, but just a little bit of rush of blood to the head I felt at times. Would you agree?
Pressure was on, so a rush of blood to head times a few times now throughout the game, especially there, a couple, exactly like you were saying, need to hold on to the ball. We need to score to win.
It's
it
over.
Was just crazy. Yeah. Take the ball away.
Yeah, France 30 points, Ireland 24, so a losing bonus point in Paris. But the Grand Slam dreams are over, folks. Beaten in France. And look, the French, they want to win the Six Nations for the first time in 12 years. They're obviously building up to the World Cup, as are we. But Ireland, yeah, three tries. At one stage, when we were 22 points to 7 down, we would have taken this result and this, I suppose, performance in the second half. But there's a defeat is going to be painful for these players to lose by 6 points. And it's over. France, 30 points. Ireland, 24. And look, Triple Crown is on, Brent, but the championship might be more in France's favour now.
More in France's favour, although that bonus point could yet prove vital, because you could see Ireland certainly picking up bonus point home wins against Italy and Scotland. England versus France is always a game that can go either way, depending on where England are at. But, I mean, they always get up for that match. So, I mean, you could see that going that one. So the championship is not out of contention, but I think that Ireland came to town. Really, I thought it was a Grand Slam year in the making, because I thought that if they could just get over France and Paris, which I know has been hard to do over the years, but I thought that monkey was off the back, and I thought win that and having the good win against Wales, then you'd fancy yourself against Scotland and Italy at home, and then go to Twickenham, you know, with fuller confidence at that stage. You know, England will be out of the race. All they'd be doing is trying to deny Ireland a Grand Slam. But look, in the context of things, I suppose over the 80 minutes, you'd have to say, and the fact that I suppose France got brought back for what, you know, 9 times out of 10 would have been a legitimate try. I suppose the balance in favour from the first half and the end of the second half probably was France deserved to win. But a mighty comeback from Ireland, and some really impressive displays from a number of Irish players, especially in the second half. But again, they'll rue their decision making, because I think not going for that try, for that win, just sort of said to France, through the back to France, that they don't think they can actually win this match. They'd be quite happy to get away with a draw. Then just in the last moment there, Hugo Keenan kicking the ball to air when you've got 30 seconds of the game to play. Like, that's when we talk about that word composure. That's when we talk about playing for a penalty so that you can put the ball into the corner and have a go at the win, something like that. But, you know, you just play and retain the ball and retain the ball and retain the ball and force the opposition to retiring to make mistakes and go offside.
Was that a leadership thing then on the pitch, Brent?
Yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, I'm not harping back to All Black play or whatever like that, but they would have viewed that last few minutes completely differently. They would have looked and said, and okay, I know people out there are saying, but Ireland beat the All Blacks and that's fine. But the way that they would have viewed it, what they'd have said, look, as long as we retain possession in the number of games that are won and lost in the last couple of minutes of rugby is incredible. If you go to the stats and say how many games were actually won and lost in those last, forget about the 40 or 50 minutes before that, but the last 2 or 3 minutes is incredible. And if you can retain the ball in the opposition 22, sooner or later they're going to make a mistake. Sooner or later they're going to come offside, because the emphasis then is on the referee to give the penalty. So the emphasis on the referees are looking to give penalties at that stage, because somebody coming offside, somebody trying to take the ball, steal the initiative. So you play for that penalty, because that gives you an opportunity without the game being ended. Now, a few years ago when you could end on a penalty, they would have just kicked it to touch or whatever. But now play doesn't stop. So Ireland could have gone into the corner. They could have worked their maul against a tiring French side who were clearly out on their feet at that stage, on the ropes. And then just play for that. Even the last moment of the game, when I talked about Hugo Keenan putting the ball to ear, why? Somebody should be just screaming, keep the ball alive, keep the ball alive. What have they got to lose? Keep it alive, link up with players, get into the French 22, force them to make a mistake, because they had to score a try at that stage. A penalty wasn't good enough. So they had to score a try, or they had to get in a position to score a try. And the way you do that in the last couple of minutes is you force the hand of the opposition. And that meant getting a penalty, kicking into the corner, and scoring from there, which was Ireland's greatest weapon throughout the whole game, was their maul, which worked pretty well. But look, take nothing away from bravery and commitment and second half and some brilliant displays by some of the players. But they'll be upset because this is not where they set their stall. They'll be upset in their room because it was a game that got away from them. It was a game that shouldn't have been theirs at halftime.
No.
But they came back in it. The momentum swung in Ireland's favour. And then it should have been a game. I was predicting, if you'd asked me to put my mortgage on that last 10 minutes, I'd said, this is Ireland's to win.
Yeah.
Not France's, because France were dead on their feet. And we just gave them a sniff. We gave them, my old saying,
we
gave a sucker an even break. There, I'll say it again. I've said it all the time. Don't give a sucker an even break. And we let France off. If it was a boxing match, France were on the ropes. They were being hit punch after punch by Ireland, and we let them off the ropes. The halftime, the bell came too early and too late for Ireland.
You know what? It's like a horse race, Brent, when we're miles back and we're closing and we're closing and we're closing. We're about to get up on the line, and then we just don't, and we lose it.
I know. And everybody's behind you, and the momentum's with you, and the jockeys, you know, riding the horse, and the crowd are behind, and then suddenly there's a dip of a head. And you lose by a nose.
It's not us. Fiona, it was a bit like, it wasn't an 80-minute performance. I suppose that's the thing. At times it was fantastic, but it wasn't an 80-minute performance.
At times it was brilliant rugby to watch. I mean, we the individual stuff that went on, Ringrose footwork at times, Hansen, but it definitely not in that first half. I thought maybe 20, 25 minutes of the second half, I thought Ireland really put the foot down. They were outstanding to watch. It was definitely a more cohesive performance. They were putting in the phases of rugby. They were wearing out the French. But overall, you would definitely say it's not similar to what we saw last week against Wales. Very different opposition, but I also think pressure came on sometimes. And people done things they hadn't normally done in the game. You know, just there at the end, as you spoke, Keenan kicking the game away. That's almost like it, kicking the ball away. That's almost like you forgetting about what time is left on the clock, where you want to be, how you want to get there. It was almost, they just literally went into the game at times, and their mind, when they got into that physicality battle, it was like things went out the window that they've obviously trained and put a lot of time into on the training ground.
Who impressed you in terms of the Irish performance, Fiona?
You have to take your hat off to Dan Sheehan coming on, and I thought he was absolutely outstanding in the second half. He got his darts perfect. He got his line out throwing, but his general play, his footwork around the pitch was brilliant. Couple of loose balls he dove on as well. I thought he was quite excellent. And you know, they sorted out that scrum. They definitely got in there, became far more cohesive, and he was involved in that battle also. Ringrose, I thought, excellent footwork, really got us on the front foot. Bundy done his job in crashing up, but when it was almost like the place lit up when we saw Ringrose on the ball, he was able to get to that soft shoulder that we talk about and got his hands free for definitely a couple of offloads as well at times. So there was some really good individuals. We can't not talk about Hansen. He was just immense at times. He's that type of player that gives you a bit of excitement when you see him on the ball. You don't know where he's going to go or what he's going to do. And he definitely put his mark on that Irish starting jersey going forward.
Who impressed you, Brent, when you're talking about individuals?
Yeah, I'd agree with Fiona. I thought she, and for a young guy, I've followed Tractor's kind of progress over the last couple of years. He's big. You know, for a hooker, for a young guy, he's not overawed by the situation. Like, I mean, a young guy at that age with not much experience coming on in front of a Parisian crowd or something like that, he wasn't fazed, and he saved the day there in the last moments with a try-saving tackle. I thought when you look at the key turnovers again in the second half, Tighe Byrne again was immense. You know, you looked at every turnover where he got his hands on the ball, he turned it over to the Irish, and that kick into the corner. Although Ireland didn't make much of it, but I mean, I thought he was good. I thought Tighe Furlong, absolutely. Porter, I thought they were good. I thought Ringrose, I agree with Fern. I thought in the second half in particular, not so much in the first half, in the second half when he got a bit of space, his footwork, Hansen. And I thought on the balance, because he was the position that we were all talking about, I thought on the balance, Joey Carberry had a pretty good second half. I thought he came into his game. He opened up a bit. He was a bit more expressive. He took a couple of kicks. His goal kicking was good. So on the balance of that, Carberry had a good game. Of course, in Gibson Park, you know, and again in the second half. In the first half, I suppose he was a bit guilty of, you know, playing the way that France wanted him to play, in the sense that they trapped him in close. But when the game opened up a bit more, Gibson Park was always there sniping, putting the French defence on alert. And so, yeah, I... I suppose I can't really understand why he was subbed. I know Conor Murray is a fine player, but I just think at that stage when Ireland was starting to play a quicker ruck game, I think that's when you need Gibson Park. Now, maybe he ran out of juice and maybe that's the call. But,
yeah, it was a double substitution. Henshaw as well came on for Aki, so it was almost like it was, well...
I can understand that because you get like with like.
Yeah.
What you get with Bundy is what you get with Robbie.
So was momentum lost?
I don't know that it was lost. I just would like to know the reasoning behind that because I thought Gibson Park was playing really well at that stage.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't want to think that coaches make selections just because they've promised players time and said, look, okay, after 50 minutes or 60 minutes, we're going to put you on the park. Now, I'm not saying in a different game that Conor Murray doesn't need to come on first or even start a game because he's a fantastic player.
Just in that moment, he got the try. They were moving the ball very quickly.
Well, they were moving the ball. They were moving the French around. He was the point of a lot of the attack. He was moving the French players around, and then they make a change that just, to me, signified a sort of a going back to a more kicking orientated game for the last 10 minutes, when in fact they should have continued playing the way they did. And the same could be said about not taking the penalty into the corner when you take the shot at goal, because you're letting a team off the rack, you know, when you've got them on the rack. But look, again, you know, going to Paris, as we know, beating France has always been difficult.
We're disappointed, and that's,
yeah,
I suppose, a good thing.
Of course, that's how far Irish rugby has come over the years. Because, you know, 20 years ago, you'd be saying, oh, well, if you got within two or three scores, then that's for celebration of a night in Paris. Now you're looking and saying, you know, if this was a World Cup year, you'd say, look, you know, Ireland can improve.
Mm.
And you didn't know really that France are not the world beating team as I see it. I mean, they showed a plenty of deficiencies today, especially in the second half. And it just showed the way, what will be learnt from this, and you've got to have learnings out of every match, and sometimes you learn more from losing than you do for winning. What Ireland would have learnt that if you can impart your style of play on France, they don't like it. And if you can take them away from that physical warfare and speed the game up and up the tempo like Ireland did, then, you know, the French look very vulnerable. And a lot of teams would have, around the world, looking at the next World Cup, because France have already been sort of semi-installed as favourites in their own home country and stuff like that. There will be a lot of teams like South Africa, New Zealand, Australia, Southern Hemisphere teams saying, OK, we think we know the way to take on France at home. Because I don't think the French have it right yet. You know, I think when they tire up front, when you take the physicality out of their game, then the backs can't show their flair because there's a disconnect, if you know what I mean. You've got two parts of the team playing different ways. You've got the forwards wanting to crash and bash around and keep it tight, as they did in the last 10 minutes to win, or the last 5 minutes to win that game. And then you've got the backs wanting the ball to express themselves. So you become a disconnect when you're not reading off the same hymn sheet as to where you want to play. Either you play it two ways. Either you play, you up the tempo and you offload quickly and you move to that sort of style of play, which is Mike Catt led to the way that Ireland are playing, and you go after that style. Or you move into a style where you say, OK, we don't have particularly good backs, outside backs, but we have a massive big pack, so we're going to scrummage and we're going to line out and we're going to keep it tight. But, I mean, at the moment, French rugby just seems to be stuck in two moulds of how they want to play. And that again, comes from their club game, because their club game is really, even Ron O'Gara will tell you, you know, their club game is not as expressive as you think. It's a lot of 10-man rugby. They buy all these big forwards from all around the world to bash and crash around, you know, the field, and they're a wee bit uncertain as to how they want to play the game.
Yeah. Fiona, what are the learnings then going into the last three matches in the Six Nations? Italy at home, England at Twickenham, and then Scotland at home.
Stick to our own style. Stick to what we're good at. Don't change up that game plan. We saw what we can do in that second half. We know we have that offload ability. We know that we have the footwork. We have the strong runners. So for me, it's not even about changing much about, but it's about sticking to what we're good at, not letting pressure get to us as a team, because we saw with that French physical pack, England might be similar depending on who's starting. They might come out looking for that physical battle. So it's about sticking to what we're good at. And I think we saw that at times in the second half, but there were other times where we could have really put the foot down, really gone against the French. You know, I thought when Conor Murray spoke about it already, I thought we got a bit conservative when he came on in how we're playing. There was also a loose pass he gave. We ended up being about maybe 40 metres back the pitch. So I like that quick style of rugby. I think we need to stick with it. We need to entrust in it, but we also need to get our clean outs right and our rucking. I thought that let us down at times. Our entry at times was a bit late. We weren't judging. Maybe that's up to the ball carrier on the ground not fighting enough, but I thought we turned over too many balls around ruck time as well.
Twickenham will be an acid test now. Have we learned from now to Twickenham? That'll be a big game.
Yeah, but it doesn't need to be, you know, because I mean, you know, I think the way that Andy Farrell will look at it and Johnny Sexton will be, look, okay, you know, we're the better team. We're the better team on paper, you know, with the better record coming into that game. So it's only just the venue you've got to get past. Yes, England, I don't believe that England will pick a physical pack in a sense, because I think that Eddie Jones is trying to go the other way. You know, we can see that by the selection of loose forwards. I mean, small loose forwards, you know, wanting to buzz around the field. He wants to play an expansive game. But the same reason I talked about a disconnect with French rugby, there's the same disconnect with the English game. Because I don't think that the individual sets of players, be it the loose forward trio, be it the tight five or whatever, or the back line, know what the others are doing. You know, what is the plan? My concern over today would be, I'd have to say, would be who's making the decisions out there at the key time.
If it's not Johnny Sexton on the pitch.
If it's not Johnny Sexton on the pitch, and I get the other, I suppose, the other players. When you're looking at your captaincy, I suppose you've got to look at the player that's going to make the starting team for a start. So you can't look at, say, someone like Peter Omani or something like that, given experience. So I get that. I get that, you know, players like James Ryan have to have experience, and the only way they can get experience is by playing matches like this. But I think there's got to be some sort of, I don't know, call or whatever, where in the first half you have someone come in and say, hey, guys, just let's not panic here. We're in a bit of a panic situation. Let's just calm down, slow it down or whatever like that. Play as what fairness, play to know how we know we can play. And that didn't come even in the last part of that match. The message should have been out from a number of players. Hold on to the effing ball, you know. I would have been screaming when I was playing. When I was playing, if I'd have been a loose forward, I'd have been screaming to the backs, don't dare think about kicking this ball away. Don't dare. While there's still time on the clock, we can still win this match. So just keep it alive. Keep it alive. Play for a penalty, as I was saying. But that should have been instructed. What we saw was a bunch of individuals in the last couple of minutes in the winning of that game thinking, what do I do here now? What's the plan here? What am I kicking it to air? Am I bringing runners in? You know, like, you know, because I don't believe that at that stage they were playing for a bonus point. I could understand if they said, hold on, we've got out of jail here and we're quite happy to get away with the 1 point. I believe that they thought they could still win that match up to the last 2 or 3 minutes. I believe
so there's an execution aspect that needs just a bit of improvement. Will we have learned, though, more from today than Wales? We most surely
absolutely,
must
have. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Didn't learn anything from Wales. Yeah, I mean, it was one-sided. People came up the streets.
Even though they won today, Wales beat Scotland 2017.
Well, that just shows you the Six Nations. I didn't think that would happen. I thought Scotland would be in the mix, and I thought actually what I'd hoped and thought was, look, I'm going to try to get tickets to the Scottish match because it could be a Grand Slam match for Ireland.
Yeah, always. Well, it could be Triple Crown match, and we're the only team that can win it.
Well, that's the only team that can win it. But, I mean, I think, you know, I wouldn't – there's no surgical sort of changes that need to be made before England. You might look at another – obviously, he's going to probably refresh things up a bit from against the Italians. And that's no disrespect to the Italians, but you've got to look to a whole squad. So those players that have been part of the squad will start that match. I think that, you know, there's a few positions, I suppose, up for grabs for the English match. But, you know, there's not much between many of these players, you know, really.
Yeah.
In the terms of Archie or Henshaw, Henshaw or Archie, you know, like it's you know, Johnny Sexton will obviously come back in if he's available. But I think but Joey Carby would have learned a lot from that match too, and that's great for his development. It's great for the Irish development looking to the World Cup because we've got to find somebody else.
No, I think Joey did well. On the balance of it, Joey did well today, didn't he, Fiona, just to finish?
He did very well. He controlled us, especially in the second half. He controlled things. He came out firing. But I thought the backline attack at times was really, really good. He squared up. He put people into space. It was him who actually got Ringrose that space, and Ringrose got his footwork into it. So I think on the balance, I mean, he's kicking, which we might have said from touchline, he might have gotten a few. I thought his kicking conversions were very, very good. So I think it's great. He's got game time under his belt now. Obviously, we didn't get the win. But for him as a player, I think he should be happy enough with his performance.
Fiona, go back to that bar.
I haven't had a drink yet. I think there's a Guinness waiting for me outside.
Well, enjoy it. Enjoy it, Fiona Hayes. Enjoy it this evening.
We're having heaps of drinking here. You're missing out.
I'm watching you. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Fiona.
Brant, come back. It was great. Thank you. Come back, Brant. We'd love, delighted to have you again. It was fantastic.
Oh, no, thank you very much. You know, it's the first time doing this for a while. So, delighted. And thanks, Fiona, and thanks to yourself for the opportunity. So,
No. Great to have you on Off the Ball, Brent Pope. As always, fantastic analysis.
Rugby on Off the Ball.
With Vodafone, main sponsor of the Irish rugby team. We all belong to the team of us.